Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here this morning. I'm very glad that the sun is shining. I'm sick of dull weather. A bit windy this morning. I was going for a walk with the dog this morning and was practically blown off my mobility scooter coming up Mill Drove. It was quite an interesting experience. So, yes, it is quite windy today. So we come to the final one of our series on 1 Peter. I found it very interesting, actually, doing the notes and also preparing various talks and sermons on it, that this really is about the Apostle Peter talking to Christians who are being persecuted across the ancient world. And we got to know Peter a bit better, and we learned about his journey and also about his death, that he was persecuted and died probably under Nero. And we learned a lot about what Peter gives advice to the church about what to do during this time. And last week we saw that Peter basically says, when you're persecuted, you just continue to do what you are doing. Keep doing good. Keep on keeping on, knowing that you are suffering and partaking in the sufferings of Christ, that you bear his name, that you have his spirit. And this is the last chapter here. It's just like a summary of everything with a couple of last bits of advice, which actually are wonderful advice from the Apostle Peter. And I have kind of said that the critical question that we look at here is, how should the community of faith be and how should the community of faith act in this context of persecution and judgment? So this is the situation they're in. How should we be as a community? And the answer basically is to stand firm. Great. So what does it mean to stand firm? How can we stand firm? So Peter has given two sections, verses 1 to 9, are instructions that we'll look at in a minute. And then he gives a blessing at the end and a greeting, and in both of those he says that they should stand firm. Stand firm in the grace of God. So this just isn't standing firm. This is standing firm in something that is very important, which is the grace of God. Now we know that the word grace is, or that acronym that says God's riches at Christ's expense, the undeserved favor of God. That's what we stand firm in. It's not just gritting our teeth and I reference the wind. You know, if you're in a very windy place, you try and stand firm. Wilmer and I were once on holiday in Argentina, and we went for a walk down the beach, and we could see this these clouds getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we could practically not walk against the wind. And so we turned around to come back, and we were practically blown back to the place where we were staying. An incredible experience. It's not that sort of standing firm. It is standing firm in God's grace, which comes through Jesus Christ. So he gives instructions. And I mentioned already the community of faith. Now I'm going to skip over several, and I'm going to come back to the details of this reference. But it's very interesting that he talks about elders and younger people. Now, there's a big discussion. I spent a lot of time looking at this. The word for elder is often used as a role within the church. So we have Kate and we have Roland as elders. Now, it could be that, but that word presbyter can also mean an older person. An older Christian, a person who has been on the Christian way for a long time. But I think it is that sense that talking about older people, older Christians, and younger Christians. So, as I said here, I'm considered maybe a type of elder because I'm a teacher. But with some other Christians, I take the role of a younger person. So the role, if I'm speaking to people within the church like Kate, like Roland, like Ralph or like David Grickis or David Hughes, I listen to them as I would as a younger Christian, because I respect them as people who have had a lot of experience and have been on the road a long time. So this is the advice that Peter is giving them. So to elders, to oversee willingly, and that's what it means. An elder is an overseer. The Brethren Church actually talk about overseers. They're elders. They don't have pastors, but they have elders. And the elders are overseers. So it's not a matter of ruling. It's a matter of watching over. Like a shepherd watches over a flock, so the elders are to watch over the flock, Jesus' flock, and certainly the younger Christians. So to oversee willingly. So you're not supposed to be the boss, you're supposed to be the carer. And to do this honestly, not to do it for personal gain, but to do it honestly for the good of others, eagerly. It's to do it with enthusiasm, to do it with a great amount of joy, to do it humbly. It says, do not lord it over. Do it humbly, because you're not the ruler. You are the shepherd. You are caring for the other person rather than trying to rule over them as a boss rules over their employees. And finally, as an example, how many times do we say action speaks louder than words? Of course it does. If I say you should be loving and I'm not loving, well, who am I to speak? So to do it as an example, to show people, not only to say you should do it, but I'm going to show you how you should do it. So the younger people will then become elders, overseers. So if they don't have an example of how to do this, then they will never know what it is to be an example for other people. This is so important to understand, to get the idea that we are an example. So if you are an older Christian, a person who's been on the road a long time, you are, whether you like it or not, you are an overseer. And your role is to oversee others, to be caring and loving and directing, to do it honestly, eagerly and humbly as an example to others. And we've got to think about how we do that. We've got to think about how we are going to be an example to others. What does it mean to actually to oversee others in a loving, eager, honest, humble way? Is it to be that person who goes out from themselves to phone people up during this time of lockdown, to make sure that they are made to feel important and special? How are we going to do that? So if you are an older Christian, that's your role. This is the way Peter is saying that we can stand firm in the grace of God. By overseeing willingly, honestly, eagerly, humbly, as an example. And to younger people, he says, submit humbly. Again, that word humility, such an important characteristic. To do something humbly, not as a self-important person. You know, I know more than anybody else. I am better than anybody. But the humility and to submit. If we are to learn, we will need to submit. Because if we have an attitude of, I know it all, then we will never learn. Because you don't see the need to learn. But if we submit humbly, then we actually can learn. And this is the role of younger people. How do we stand firm? We submit humbly. Without anxiety. Boy, there is so much anxiety in the world today. You know, the lockdown, the COVID-19, there's violence in the world, there's wars. We can quite easily be anxious. But to do something without being anxious means we trust. And trust and faith in God is the way to avoid anxiety. Paul says it in Philippians, doesn't he? Says, do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, present your needs to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Without anxiety means to trust. But again, that's not passive. Being alert and sober-minded. This is the little slogan that the government had just recently. Stay alert. In other words, do not lose focus. I read an article this morning, or I read a headline this morning on the BBC website, and I thought, well, who'd have thought of it? It said, the police say that people who are drunk do not socially distance. Well, who'd have thought that? Oh, my best friend, you are. I love you so much. You know, that's this sort of, that's not being sober-minded. Staying alert. Being very, very aware of what's going on around us. But without anxiety. So these are what Peter is saying to younger people are really quite practical, but quite difficult. So if you stay alert and be sober-minded, but it can make you anxious. But with faith, we can actually do this. I remember seeing somebody post on Facebook. It said, my wish to be informed and my mental health are at loggerheads with one another. Because I find out about the world, I'm alert, I'm sober-minded about the world, but that gives me anxiety. We can if we have trust in God. He is in control. And finally, resisting the devil. The devil will want to add to our problem, to add to our anxiety, to make us unaware, to be not sober-minded. We must resist the devil. And we have that promise that he will flee from us if we resist the devil. And this really, on one side, you have the overseers who have wisdom. This is Maya Angelou and, of course, the great Nelson Mandela. They were examples. I don't know if you remember, there was one, it was a stadium event, and all the young people of the ANC were wanting to get out and make a lot of, have a lot of violence and do protests and stuff. And he said, if I can forgive them, then you can forgive them. He spent 27 years in jail. If I can forgive them, so can you. And that is being an example. And learning, listening, trusting, being eager and sober-minded to know that you need to learn from the others. So, we are all in this situation. We are one of the two things. We are either an experienced Christian who should be an example to others, overseeing humbly, or we are a younger Christian who has to submit humbly as well, so as to learn and become an elder. So really, to stand firm means to submit to one another humbly in faith. We cannot stand firm unless we submit to one another. And that is our jobs in the church. We submit to one another. Humbly, in humility, and humility means love, self-awareness, and the wish to know God better. That is how we can stand firm. How can we stand firm today? How can we stand firm in this difficult situation that we're in? Well, we submit to one another humbly, overseeing and learning, having wisdom and being willing to learn. So Peter finishes verses 10 to 14 with a blessing and some final greetings. He says that God will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. God will not allow this to continue forever. God will restore you. It's a wonderful word, restoration. Getting you back to what you were before. These people who Peter was talking to were struggling under persecution, under suffering. But he says that God will restore you. He will make you strong and you will be able to stand firm and steadfast. And the final greeting is again to stand firm in the grace of God and to have peace. That word peace, you know the word in Hebrew, I've probably mentioned it several times, shalom. It is to do with restoration, being in a place where you can breathe, where you are in that place that God wants you to be in. And it goes back to chapter 1, verse 2. Peter says that you should have the peace of God. So we have a role and God has a role. As Nick said, really, it is about him. It is about God. His work is to restore us, and he will do that. Our work is to stand together. And the reference is to greet each other with a holy kiss, which is a sign of love and of grace towards one another. We can't even shake hands at the moment. You can just about elbow bump. If you've got very, very long arms of 2 meters, you know, two people with an arm that's a meter long, you can elbow bump. But this is a sign of love, a sign of grace. We cannot stand firm unless we stand together. And this is the message really of 1 Peter 5, that we have a role to oversee and to learn, to have wisdom on one side and learning on the other. And we can only stand firm when we stand together, because together we experience God's grace. We can't experience God's grace just as an individual. We've got to do it as a community. And I think probably one of the things that most of us are finding really difficult right now is not being able to meet together. We do meet together on Zoom. It's not the same. It's just not the same. You see us, we don't see you, but we are still standing together. We pray for the church. Wilma and I pray every morning for the congregation of Bourne Baptist Church. And we do pray for you. We want to stand firm with you. We do want to know that you are okay and that you are standing firm as well. So we can only stand firm when we stand together. If there's one thing you get from this sermon, it's that. We can only stand firm when we stand together. So let's stand together in God's grace. Let's pray together. Lord God, I do thank you that you have given us grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can stand firm because of him. He has united us into your body, into one body, so that we can stand firm together. Help us in our roles, Lord, as we are, whether we are elders or we are younger people, that you will help us to oversee eagerly, willingly, humbly, and that we can also learn humbly with a humble spirit and a right understanding of who we are. Help us to resist the devil. He doesn't want our best, but we know that you do. So we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.